Well, we certainly had a wonderful day today, not only weather-wise, but we had a wonderful service this morning. Surely the Lord was in the arrangements. It's been a wonderful day. I couldn't believe that Brother Lawrence would ask me to get up and speak this afternoon after that sermon this morning. But anyway, we trust that the Lord will be with us for a few minutes as we stand before you. I want to reveal some of my experiences. And when I grew up with another denomination. They were good people, wonderful people. In fact, my grandfather was a minister in that particular order. But after I get older and Sunday school lost all its interest, since I begin to see that the doctrine was not that it should be, I made up my mind then if I ever got away from home, I'd never go back to the church again. But you know, we had no to say things like that because we don't know what the Lord's mind is. But the Lord blessed me to marry a Primitive Baptist girl after I came out of the service. Of course, it was all new to me, and I thoroughly didn't understand it, and at the time I could have cared less. But by insistence, we went to church, our old Primitive Baptist church. Where we heard the truth. You know, if you grew up in a Primitive Baptist church, you probably don't appreciate as much as someone who comes from another denomination and sees the other side of the picture. But it reminds me of Jeremiah in 23. He said, "O Lord, it's not in man to direct his steps." Not in man to walk to direct his steps. If I had gone my way, I probably never would have come to the church. But by the grace of God, he brought me. And I'm so thankful. I remember an October morning when I asked for a home in the church. And they accepted me. And what a wonderful time it was. And we went to the river to be baptized. It was a cold day, and the water was cold. But there was such a warmth in that I'll never forget. What a wonderful feeling it is to have that burden lifted from your shoulders. I remember a man down in the country, a church I used to go to. He never did join, but he'd take his wife to church, and she was a member. As years passed by, he became sick to such a point that he was not able then to be baptized. But he called the preacher and the deacons, and he said, "Brethren, I should have joined a church years ago. I love those folks down there, and I love that doctrine. But," he said, "I not be able to be baptized," and he was such a condition he couldn't have been at that time. But I've thought about that so often. If God has impressed you to join the church and you refuse to do it, there may come a time when you'll be just like this gentleman was. I hate to think, you know, that now he's gone so far that he can't be baptized. He's so sick, so bad. But how wonderful it is to know that even though he was not baptized with water, I sincerely believe he was baptized by the Holy Ghost. And I can have the assurance and the feeling within my heart that heaven is going to be his home. Oh, the doctrines of grace, how we need to guard it, how we need to protect it, how we need to support it. I want to go over to Timothy, the 4th chapter, for a little bit. You know, I kept hearing some preachers say, we have plenty of preachers. What the church need is some pastors. And I found out exactly what they meant. Elder Mazingo, I got acquainted with him. What a wonderful, wonderful man he was concerning the doctrines of grace. His faithfulness to the church, how he conducted himself among the members. And then the Lord blessed us to see Elder Lawrence, to know him, to love him, and see how he conducts himself and how he, as a pastor of the church, has encouraged and directed you in the way that you should go. The 4th chapter of 2 Timothy is a charge to Timothy, Paul's son in the ministry, he called him. You know, we used to talk about fathers in the ministry and people would laugh at that. I tell you, we need fathers in the ministry to help and direct younger ministers, to warn them of the pitfalls and show them how they should conduct themselves, that they might be able to pastor in a way that would be pleasing in the sight of God. But Paul says to Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. You know, being ordained in the ministry is not a plaything. And it should not be the desire of man, but it should be God's desire placed within a man, that he would be ordained and charged before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I charge thee. When we ordain a minister, somebody always gives a charge. Instructing the young man, the young preacher, in the things that he needs to know and the things that he needs to learn. Not only that, but to encourage him in his ministry. To be with him and behind him and support him in that ministry. When we ordain or charge a young minister, notice he said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. One who stands before you to speak and bring these truths to your attention. He is responsible to God the Father, not only for what he said, but for his actions. It's a very serious thing. But I charge thee before God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Lawrence brought this out this morning. But there is a false doctrine that is being spread among some of our brethren. I know a church now that has completely gone down because of the false doctrine. And that doctrine is that there'll be no such thing as eternal punishment. The punishment that we receive will be here on this earth, but there will not be any eternal damnation. Brethren, that's not the doctrines of God's sovereign grace. That's not the doctrine of the Lord. That's not the doctrine that Paul preached. And I think Paul here is, to me, he's telling this young preacher something. That God will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. God is the judge. He not only judges the quick, but he also judges the dead. Brought out so wonderfully in the 25th chapter of Matthew, when there were two parties involved, one on the right hand and one on the left. And the words were, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." Notice the word inherit. Inherit. We inherit something because we're a member of that family. If we ever see heaven and immortal glory, it's because we're a member of God's family. Not by anything we've done, but by his sovereign grace. "But those on the left, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting punishment." There was a separation made between the sheep and the goats. Separation has been made all down through the scriptures. And I want to go back to the 11th chapter of the book of Exodus. And there we find another separation. Here, God says, "This night, I will make a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites." Who made the difference? God did. People don't like to hear those things, but they're the truth. God made a difference. What could possibly be the difference? The Israelites were sinners. Proven by all through the Bible, tells us that we are nothing, yea, less than nothing. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Egyptians were sinners. Why, even the Israelites had taken up false gods. What could possibly be the difference? But God said, "This night I'll make a difference." What was the difference? A lamb was provided for the Israelites that when the Lord came over, they were spared. When he saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost upon the lintels, he passed over. But death came upon the firstborn of all Egyptians. God saw the blood. This was not an ordinary lamb, but this is one that had been put up on the 10th day and sacrificed on the 14th. There was a waiting period to be sure that this lamb was without spot and without blemish. Oh, my friends, I want to point you to another lamb that was without spot and without blemish. Some 33 years upon this earth, without spot and without blemish. But the Israelites had the blood on the doorpost and upon the lintels. What did this represent in your mind? To me, when he put it on the doorpost and upon the lintels, I go back to Zechariah, where he said, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of Israel, and for the house of David, for sin and uncleanness. A fountain shall be opened. And then he goes to the 14th chapter, and he said, in that day, living waters shall come forth from Jerusalem. I believe the doorpost represented God's people in the old and in the new. All that he ever called in the covenant of redemption, whether they were in the Old Testament or New Testament. If they are his children, my friend, they are included in the blood. And the lintel of the door, what could it possibly represent in your mind? In my mind, it means that the blood was between them and God. I believe today, my friend, it stands between us and God. When God looks down upon us, he looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, as white as snow and pure as all and can be. Yes, he made a difference. The first 1 and 4 of Ephesians said, I'm getting too fast here. That you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I know we hear it many, many times, but every time we hear it, aren't you thrilled to know that you had nothing to do with your eternal salvation? But aren't you glad that you can put it in the hands of a God that's all wise? Notice now, as we go on in this chapter, he said, preach the word. That's what we need to be guarding this day and time. Preach the word. It seems as if there's fewer and fewer of us all the time that will hold to the truth. But he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Preach Christ and him crucified. The word. Not any word, but preach the word. Christ and him crucified. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things, and same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him nothing made that was made. Preach what? The Word. The Word that was in the beginning. He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end, and he's all the way between. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This shows his deity. And then he said, the Word was God. The Word was God. God manifest in the flesh. What a wonderful thing to think. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This Word that was in the beginning with God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. What a wonderful thought it is. preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know that when we have a pastor, he is one that's on 24-hour day duty. He may be called in the middle of the night. He may have days when he's got things planned he wants to do. But his work comes first. He's one that will reprove. When you do things wrong, he'll censor. Rebuke, yes. Chastise. And exhort, or encourage, admonish, and encourage the congregation. Pastor is one that has the work not only of the ministry in the preaching of the gospel, but he said of the ministry that they should be an example to the flock. And why is he exhorting and reproving and rebuking? The third verse tells us, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Does that sound like this day and time? For the time will come when they, who? The Lord's people, will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. What did they tell the old prophet? Prophesy smooth things. They will not endure sound doctrine. I can remember when Elisha came to Gilgal. Said he came again to Gilgal. The old prophet came. He had been there before, and evidently he spoke to those people and admonished them in the ways of the Lord. But now it said he come again to Gilgal, 2 Kings. Come again to Gilgal. And what did he find? He said there was a dearth in the land. I tell you, when there's a dearth in the land, it's a pretty serious thing. If we didn't have anything to eat, we'd be in bad shape. But I can tell you now that if there's a dearth, a spiritual dearth, among God's children, how serious it would be that we could not admonish one another in these things. That we could not look, as a brother said this morning, with expectations upon the thing. Yes, there was a dearth in the land. And he came to the sons of the prophets. So evidently these sons had been admonished. And he said to one of the sons to go and gather herbs and make us a pot of pottage. A pot of stew, in other words, with herbs. He told him what to put in it. But the young man saw an old gourd vine. And the thing looked good to him, so he shredded the gourd vine and put it with the herbs. And when they went to eat, they said, there's poison in the pot. When we try to add to the Lord's word, because something looks good, we're only putting poison in the pot. People will tell you, oh, if you just join the church, your troubles are over. A lot of your problems will be solved if you just join the church. But they ought to be truthful about it. Yes, we ought to join the church. We ought to love it enough to join it. We ought to love it enough to support it. But our troubles are not over then. I found that when I joined the church, I had some trouble that just began to start. And that's when Satan was enticing with everything in the world. So, he said, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn to fables. I won't keep you much longer. But I want to go back to the 137th Psalm. You know, in 1 Samuel, the children of Israel come to Samuel, who was a judge, said, Samuel, we want a king. We want to be like other folks. I've heard some Primitive Baptist people talking about, what can we do to get a bigger crowd? What would entice more people? And I seen some quit because it didn't have a ball team, which they thought they ought to have it for the young folks. But that's not a part of the church. Said, we want a king. We want to be like other folks. Well, I'll tell you now, I don't want to be like other folks. Samuel reminded them that they had a king. The Lord Jesus Christ, or God Almighty, was their king. They should look to him for guidance instead of an earthly king. And so it is with God's people. Many times we're tempted to try something else. And the children of Israel, so many times, were taken captive. In the 137th Psalm, it said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon. If I'm not mistaken, it was the Euphrates River that flowed through Babylon. It was a place where the willow trees grew along the riverfront. And here was God's people that had been taken captive and were captive for 70 years. You know, God's people sometimes just will be taken captive. They become so weak. And we're captive by the things in the world. And these people here were taken captive. And for 70 years. And now they're at the rivers of Babylon. Captives. The Euphrates River evidently was a pretty good sized river. And from what I read, these people were treated as slaves. And they loaded and unloaded ships. They took care of the river and keeping it in shape for the boats to come up and down. They done everything that the Babylonians wanted them to do. And that's exactly what happens when we're taken captive by the world. They sat down by the river. And there we sat down and we wept. Why did they weep? Jerusalem had been destroyed. In the year 587, I believe, along there. Not only was the city of Jerusalem destroyed, but the Temple of Solomon was also destroyed. Can you imagine? Their heart was set in Jerusalem. And Solomon's temple was a place that God made himself known. Now they are destroyed. They no more have the temple nor the city of Jerusalem. That's why they're sad. If for some reason suddenly our churches should become destroyed and we are taken captive by some enemy, I think we'd be sitting down weeping too. I think we'd be weeping over Zion. And it said, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. They hanged their harps on the willows. My understanding was that Levites had harps. And they played on these harps. And they sang the psalms. That was their songs, was the psalms. And they sang these songs. How the people must have enjoyed all of this. As we come together today to sing the songs of Zion, to give God the honor and the praise. And we felt that God met us surely here in this house. Now some people tell you don't make it difference whether you go to church or not. I could get just as much out of it under a shade tree. Don't let them tell you that. And you got to make a believer out of them. I can tell you now there's something about being in the assembly of the saints under the sound of the gospel that you can't get anywhere else. So they sang the psalms. Now they had no need for their harps, so they just hung them on a willow. I think they were in pretty pitiful shape. But they were that way because of disobedience. How many times God's people in disobedience have been taken prisoners? Let us thank God for the not only for the gospel of grace, but the fellowship of the saints, but thank God for the special gifts that He sends among us to remind us not only of our duty, but the expectation that someday beyond this veil of tears, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to be like Him. And the whole best part of it is we're going to be satisfied. May God bless you. Come on, brother.